Our scripture lesson today is found in Luke 17, verses 11 through 19 on your Pew Bible, page 1627. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee, and he was going into a village. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, we would ask that you would speak to us through your word that Carol just read and through the message that Willie just gave too. Of the 10 lepers and the one that came back. And Lord, still our minds and hearts to be open to your word for us today in the week ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Earlier this year, I was at a funeral service. And before the service, I met with, I'll call him Brad. I hadn't seen Brad in years, I'd say about 7-8 years. I had visited Brad through the First Reformed Church Pompton Plains, where I was serving, numerous times in the hospital. He was in his late 30s, early 40s. Would see him in the local hospitals, also in the psychiatric hospitals. I remember going to Greystone State Hospital, the old buildings, and visited Brad. And Brad had an addiction to alcohol and drugs and wanted to commit suicide. And so I visited with him, prayed for him, talked with his family. His mother passed away some years ago, and one of her most important prayers was to pray for her son. But earlier in the year, I met Brad, and we went off to the side, and he says, "Pastor Tom, God has changed my life. God has healed me. Praise the Lord." And I said, "Well, that's great. You know, tell me more, Brad." And in about 7-8 years ago, again, he had hit rock bottom, I thought, in a number of times, but he said, I came to a realization that God loved me and there was a greater plan for my life. And praise be to God, through his mercy and grace, I'm healed. I still go to my meetings. I still need prayer support from others, but thanks be to God that my prayers were answered. And I thought, wow. You know, I really didn't give much hope for Brad. And now we go back some centuries. And first of all, yesterday was a famous day in the history of the world, particularly in the Americas and the Western Hemisphere. Historical event we learned in school, right? Christopher Columbus founded one of the islands of the Bahamas on October 12th. What year? Oh, come on, people, 1492. And what were the name of the 3 ships that they traveled on? Okay, all right. So, Willie, we're getting some response there. All right, so you remember that, right? So he sailed not only that one time, but a number of other times. And he was going to the Far East, he thought, and to India. And that's why he named the Native Americans Indians. You know, hoping that he was going to get there, which he never did. He was seeking a new route to the Far East and India. Now, and we know that the Vikings had really not discovered the land before, but they were here. But the Native Americans were here centuries before, too. So, but anyway, that's another story. And but then we have the Gospel of Luke. We have the account that Carol read of the 10 lepers. And that's the lectionary gospel text for today, you know, as we travel through the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus is going between Samaria and Galilee. And if you can picture on a map, you have Galilee up here in the province, and then below there you have Samaria, then you have Judea, and then off to the side you have Perea. Jews would not want to go through Samaria. The Samaritans, through the centuries and years, had intermarried with other religions, and so their faith, according to the Jews, was really tainted. But Jesus is traveling through Samaria and Galilee on his way to Jerusalem. And scholars believe, and as the scripture is read and understood, that this was his final trip to Jerusalem, where he'd going to be betrayed, he was going to be crucified, and then rise from the dead. And then we have you and me. We have Christopher Columbus, a grateful leper, and you and me. Do you see that life is an adventure? Or is it problems after problems, challenges after challenges? Janet Wallendale found this on the internet about the explorer Christopher Columbus, and I wanted to read this. Divine Providence decreed that Christopher Columbus would find a sympathetic ear in the King and Queen of Spain. And so Columbus fulfilled his life's ambition, did well for himself, and paved the way for future generations to be able to excel through hard work and ingenuity. And read that he was a deeply devout man, always grateful to God, and dedicated his mission to the new world, to the conversion of peoples to become Christians, like the apostles. He hoped to bring the gospel to those that had never heard of Christ. But Christopher Columbus's life was not always rosy, if you would read more about that. And now we have 10 lepers. And Willie, you really spelled out very well about the lepers. Or some type of skin disease. And these people were ostracized and would be on the outskirts of the city. And they would be dependent upon their families to drop off food or go into the towns, but they had to stay so many feet away. And then they'd have to yell, unclean, unclean. And so this Jesus comes into town. And I don't know if any of the 10 heard about Jesus, but you know, they say, Jesus, Master, have pity on, not me, have pity on us. And I thought, boy, that's kind of strange. I thought it would be pity on me, but us as a group. And Jesus looks at them and heals them. And he says, go show yourself to the priests. To get back in society, they had to be examined by the priests. And then they would be able to go back to their homes and to the towns where they were from. But only one came back praising God and thanking Jesus and falling at his feet. And then Jesus says, rise and go, your faith has made you well. He also said, well, weren't there 10 of you all? Weren't there another 9? But rise and go, your faith has made you well. And I think of that person, Brad, you know, and I think God is able to transform lives in great ways and sometimes small ways. And to be open to that. Dr. Bruce Larson, in his commentary on this account, says, this leper came back praising God, and yet he still had enormous problems. His leprosy was healed, but he had been living as an outcast with no family and no job. He had no home and no village, yet he is praising God even in the midst of unsolved problems. There is much evidence about why and how we are to praise God in our own problems. You know, Ephesians says, giving thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And also in Thessalonians, rejoice always, pray unceasingly. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. That's tough to do. Sometimes I want to thank God, praise God. Other times I want to say, God, where are you? God, have mercy on me. God, have mercy on other people. Where are we today? Tough times? How can we be grateful and thankful in life, even when things are not going the way that we want? And I think that's a key to life. The scriptures talks about giving praise and thanks to God often. And the Apostle Paul says, in all circumstances, give thanks to God. Give thanks to God. Reverend John Thomas, a minister in the United Church of Christ, gave a sermon, and it was funny when I read this. He said, a few months ago, I spent a week at a Benedictine monastery with a group of seminary students. At noon every day in the guest house, they were joined by the monks and celebrated the Eucharist, or the celebration of the Lord's Supper, with a number of people from the local community. One day, I watched a couple of retirement age make their way to receive the bread and the cup at the table. The man wore a sweatshirt that said, I can only be nice to one person a day, and today is not your day. Tomorrow doesn't look too good either. What was that man thinking, Reverend Thomas said. I wondered, and why did his wife let him get out of the house dressed that way, going to a priest to receive the real presence of Christ's body and blood? You know, what kind of message was that? The next day they were back, and a sweatshirt read, why don't you understand, what don't you understand about the word no? Now, obviously, he said, I know nothing about the man's circumstances, but to share in the sacrament and Holy Communion, and how could your wife let you get out of the house with a sweatshirts like that? But to be thankful, to be grateful people, vitally important in life. Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that God who has begun a good work in you, in me, and in countless others will complete it. Friends, we're all in process. God's work of transformation is occurring in our lives. And I focus back on that example of Brad, which was a radical transformation. And, you know, that can happen in mighty ways that are visible, and it can happen in smaller ways. But of seeking true wholeness, a witness to others, and as we leave this place in a few minutes, going forward as people of hope. The 10 lepers were all healed by Jesus. We may have a tendency of isolation for different reasons. Today, leprosy, for the most part, is curable. I have a friend who is from India and ministers to children whose parents have leprosy. And in India, they're still ostracized with having that disease, even if they're cured of it. And so the children, even though they don't have leprosy, they're outcast by a number of people. So he's taken them in as foster kids and, you know, kind of like, you know, what the Longs have done and, you know, Bhaskar has done and, you know, tries to, you know, encourage them and give them faith in the Lord. But there's other types of diseases which isolate people. It could be ethnic and cultural. It could be for religious reasons, different religions or the same religion, but divisions with them. It could be mental illness, certain diseases such as AIDS, poverty, education or lack of it, and there are others to remember. But think of who came back, the Samaritan. And as I mentioned, you know, but he really couldn't go to the priest. He really couldn't go to the synagogue. He wouldn't be accepted there too. But he came back to thank Jesus. And here we are today, as a congregation, as individuals, to be thankful to the Lord. Last week, I really thought it was very much of a milestone in you know, the history of Abundant Life Reformed Church. And thinking back to Second Reformed Church, thinking back to Union Reformed Church, thinking to Pastor Chris's installation, and you know, it was a time to kind of reflect on God's faithfulness and God's continued faithfulness as we move forward. This afternoon, I'm going to a 100th anniversary of a church I served in Bridgewater. Sarah, you might know the Reformed Church at Findern, which wasn't too far from Hillsboro. And that's going to be at 4 o'clock. They're going to have a reception. And I'm excited about being there with Linda. And a time to rejoice. And, you know, then the ups and downs of ministry, as well as the ups and downs of life. In a book, How to Be Like Jesus, Lessons on Following in His Footsteps, Pat Williams says, the love of Jesus looks beyond skin color, ethnic barriers, and class distinctions. The love of Jesus reaches across ideological lines and battle lines. The love of Jesus chooses to love in unlovely and unloving situations. The love of Jesus is the power that heals and transforms a wounded soul. We can never be like Jesus unless we learn to love as he loved. Jesus is more than a teacher, more than a preacher. He was a healer, and the source of his healing was love. And again, ironically, the leper that came back to give thanks was the Samaritan. You think about the Good Samaritan. Remember the other two that walked by? The priest walked by and probably said, oh, I got to get to the synagogue before a certain time. Then a Levite, which was one of the church leaders, walked to the other side. But then the Samaritan is the one that stopped and gave aid to that person that was in need. You know, Jesus using the unlovely person, the unloving one, the one that you would think would not be the person that would show any type of concern and care. I wanted to find an example in one of Dr. Norman Vincent Peale's books. And Dr. Peale has written like 40-some books. So I had lost some of his books in our flood, and so I was kind of looking around, and I called Marble Collegiate Church, where Dr. Peale had served in New York City. And they have an archivist, and I kind of gave the example, and the person couldn't find it, and said, well, I'll keep looking, and you keep looking on the internet, and I came up with the example. And I'd like to use that in closing, and it's a powerful example of the transformation of God and his healing presence. And Dr. Peale, whose life touched many people, and to give a positive message of hope and healing. And he said in this book, if anyone is in Christ, from the scriptures from 2 Corinthians, they are a new creation or new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And he goes on to say, a newspaper editor told of experiencing this process in a struggle with fear. And he goes on, from earliest infancy, the person had to wear a brace on his leg. And as he grew, he found that he couldn't compete with the other boys. He couldn't run or play or climb trees. As a small boy, how could he climb the ladder of life, he reasoned. And fear began to take hold of his life and a brace on his mind as well. But the father said, son, don't worry, your leg will be healed. Someday I'm going to take you to the great cathedral, and there before the great altar, God will heal you. That great day came. Both father and son, dressed in their best clothes, went reverently into that cathedral. They came down the aisle of the cathedral, hand in hand, the boy looking about wonderfully, his little withered leg thumping along. They knelt at the altar. Finally, the boy lifted his face, and he said, I have seen my father's face under many circumstances, but never before I had seen such unearthly beauty as was upon his countenance in that moment. And there was a light resting. And the father said, son, you're healed. And the boy was excited and said, boy, the day has come. And then they were walking back to the doors to go out of the cathedral. And as he was walking, he noticed his leg wasn't changed at all. And he's walking and he's walking. And he realizes right before he gets to the front door that God had healed him. Not his leg, but it healed his mind. You know, that fear that had gripped him and how fear can grip each of our lives, it came off and he said, God has healed me, Dad. God has healed me. Indeed, God had healed him. How are we set free? How does God have mercy on us? This healed and grateful leper and Christopher Columbus offer hope. But are we people that offer hope and wholeness? And do we live this out? The Lord continues to be active in each of our lives and in the world through his Holy Spirit. In your life, my life, multitudes of others, some aware of this presence, power, and others not, or not yet, but made whole through faith and healing by the Lord. So Christopher Columbus, the grateful leper, and you, followers of our Lord Jesus, adventurers, people of grace and hope, let us pray. Lord, you know what's on our hearts and in our minds more greatly than we know ourselves. Lord, we need your mercy as all those lepers needed. And people need that message of hope and healing. The miracles don't always happen in the way that we pray, But there's greatness, there's power in your spirit that goes beyond what we're able to even imagine at times. So, Lord, give us faith, give us encouragement, and may we be lights as Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Amen.